Well, for those who are not here in the past other years, January is a time when we always start off the year with Testimony Sunday. We did Thanksgiving testimonies a little while ago. We're going to have lots more opportunity for Thanksgiving this morning, but also a time for you maybe to just talk about where God met you in the past year, a place of trial or a place of difficulty, or maybe you want to come up and just express a hope for the next year that you desire for God to do this in your life, or you want to offer something to Him as we enter into this new year. This is a time for us to encourage one another and to hear stories of God's goodness. Before we do that, I want to read Psalm 103 together. And I've got a couple of people who are going to help me read this. And I want to just make a few comments on some of the different portions of this psalm. I was struck by this. This psalm has been on my mind and heart for quite a while. But especially at the end of last year, just some time reading the Word, I was meditating on this. I actually made a decision that I'm going to memorize this psalm this year. So if any of you want to join me with that, please feel free. A lot of it will actually be familiar to many of you because it's portions of this are very well known. But I'm going to read the first part, and then after that, Charlene's going to read a portion, and Rachel's going to read a portion. I'll make some comments along the way. But the beginning of this psalm, you can find it in your... there it is right there. We'll just go with this. And just by the way, so this is from David. Did David ever have a hard year? Did David ever have reasons to be discouraged? Did David ever feel alone? Did David ever feel guilt and shame? Did he have reason to feel guilt and shame? He's like a major screw-up, right? But he's a man after God's own heart. So this is from David. Hopefully we can relate this morning. But here's what he says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I don't know what you say to yourself. You know, you probably do talk to yourself, maybe not out loud, but at least there are things that you tell yourself about life, right? And they could be things like, the whole range, right? Maybe you tell yourself, there's no hope. Maybe you tell yourself, nobody understands me. Maybe you tell yourself, I'm not worthy of love. Maybe you tell yourself, God doesn't love me. Maybe you tell yourself, my life would just be better if. And maybe you tell yourself that the broken people and the broken places that you're surrounded with are going to swallow you up. And so there is no hope. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff we tell ourselves, right? And what David is saying here, this is David, who was the same David as like Goliath and Bathsheba and his son Absalom, and being on the run and living in caves and having to pretend he was a crazy man to survive. That same David, he says, I better tell myself some stuff. He's speaking to himself here. And what does he say? He says, self, soul, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. He's not talking to you first. He's talking to himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord and forget not all His benefits. One of the reasons we have Testimony Sunday is because we don't do that forget not part very well. We forget all the time. Somebody said about this psalm and David here, they said that the psalmist is rousing himself to shake off apathy and gloom. Anybody been there? He's rousing himself to shake off apathy and gloom, using his mind and his memory to kindle his emotions. And so we see that this forget not part of our faith, this bless the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul, is a conscious act. And he remembers why. He forgives, he heals, he redeems, he crowns, he satisfies. And Charlene's going to come up and tell us a little bit more in reading verses 6 through 14 there. My eyes are kind of... I got a really small print here. Thanks, Charlene. Oh, you don't need this.
The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust.
Thanks, Charlene. That's some good news for us this morning, church. Some good news for sinners. All right? Whether you know it or not, you have failed to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You failed to love him, and you failed to love your neighbor. And this sin separates us from God. And God is, he's righteous, he's justice, he's going to set everything right in the end. But he's going to do it in a way that for those who belong to him doesn't crush us. Because in verse 7 there, he's full of mercy and grace, slow to anger and abounding in love. God's compassion here is for sinners. Look at in verses 11, 12, 13. What you see there is immeasurable love, as far as the heavens are from the earth. What you see is infinite removal of your sins. If you go east, you will never start going west, all right? If you travel around the world, you can go north and start heading south after you're halfway around, right? But if you go east, you're never going to be going west. God has removed your sins from you. And then he has embraced you with intimate affection of a father, as a father has compassion on his children. Rachel, come on up and tell us some more. We've seen God's love for sinners here, but this next section of the psalm shows us God's love for frail, weak people.
As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all.
Thank you. We're reminded in this brief set of verses that we are finite. We're like the grass. Grows up today and withers tomorrow. Many of you know that one of my hobbies is to walk through cemeteries. It's a great hobby. I recommend it. It actually puts life in perspective. Donna's like, that's kind of morbid. Huh? I'm serious. If I ever go, I love small town cemeteries. I love rural cemeteries because you get families together. And you can see the generations. And you can look at, you know, that birth date and that death date. I've told you this before, church. You know what your life is? It's that little line in between. Right? And many of us this past year and this coming year, we will be consumed about things that are so, so small. And what we see in the psalm, our lives are finite, but God is infinite. He is eternal. And our only hope for the future is to connect ourselves to this eternal God. His steadfast love is from everlasting to everlasting. He has established his throne in heaven. I want to be part of that kingdom, not my own. All right? But God's kingdom rules over all. And so I'm just going to close here, these last verses. It's a call. See, he's not talking to himself here anymore. He's talking to the entire universe, all of creation. And he says, bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts and ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, New City South. He is worthy. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hopefully what will happen this morning is that our minds and our memories and our mouths, as you come and share and testify, will rekindle within our hearts praise for God, worship for God, because he's worthy. And so I want to invite you this morning to come up and give a testimony. How have you seen the goodness of the Lord? Where do you long to see it in the year ahead of it? And this, just as a reminder, this doesn't mean that 2016 was a great year for you, so you're going to come and talk. No. It means that you experienced God in the midst of the mess. We're not testifying about ourselves, but about our great God. So, love to hear from you. I'm always so encouraged with the stories. Here's the microphone. And who's got a story? A scripture verse you want to read? All right. Christy Sawyer, thanks. Coming up first is always the hardest.
So. You might think, well, anyway, I was going to say something clever.
Say your name just so
I'm Christy Sawyer. I'm not going to say something clever. I'll try not to be theological and just be really honest. I have been sort of ensnared for about 8 or 9 years with anger and resentment, and it's turned me into a cynical person, kind of critical and hard. And I wondered why I couldn't get up to testify. And the Lord's really been giving me some insight lately, and I hope it'll help you, because if you've lost something really dear to you, and I know we all have, and maybe you were offended against, maybe it isn't your own sin, but if you wondered why you can't open up and praise the Lord, it might be because you haven't forgiven. And I think unforgiveness leads to cynicism and hardness. And so I've been praying about this for years. And I think I'm getting a little insight. And the Lord just said to me just a few days ago. So if this helps you, I'll share it with you. I have no business holding anything against anyone, because my sins are forgiven. Hmm. And the Lord even said on the cross, you know, Father, forgive them. Relationally, I have to forgive, but it's really the sin debt is against the Lord. The person really hasn't sinned against me, even though this person took something that was very valuable to me. So when I thought about what God had forgiven me, an infinite debt, then all of a sudden I realized I can release this person to God, which in some sense is really fearsome. I do not hold any debt. I have no payment that is owed me. Everything is paid in my life. So I don't know if I'm making any sense. Is that making any sense, mm-hmm. Kevin? It's kind of liberating. I'm not there yet. I got a long way to go. But I just realized that when you release someone to the Lord, they no longer hold any debt against you at all. And then the Lord will deal with that. And so hopefully that'll help you. Hopefully you'll help me with that too.
Amen. Thanks, Christy. Good. Oh, it's not Tim? Because spouses never sin against one another, huh? Yeah, come on up.
Hello, I'm Lauren.
Put the microphone right up.
Huh? Oh, okay. So, some of you know what it's been like for me this year. I'll just share briefly. I worked for 2 years at an international program with the Lutheran high schools, and I was a counselor for international students. And this summer, I was laid off, and it's been really hard. But I just wanted to share something that God really gave me this year to share with others. The week before I was laid off, I drove to Chicago to visit a good friend of mine, and I just kind of spent the weekend with her, and I went to her church and met some of her friends. And one of her friends I met, I didn't even share anything with her. Well, nothing was really going on. I just remember meeting her very briefly. And the Monday I returned and back to work in St. Louis, my friend that I visited texted me and said, Hey, I don't know if I should share this with you, but my friend that you met had a dream about you. And she sent me the, like, screenshot of the text that her friend sent to her about this dream she had about me. And this girl told my friend, you know, I had a dream about your friend Lauren. I don't really know what's going on. I don't really know, but I just woke up and I felt like I needed to pray for her. And she should know that she's covered in whatever it is that she's facing. And my friend told me this, and I was like, what? Like, okay. And my colleague, Sunita, some of you know her and know what she's been through this year. Henry was one of our students at the program I worked at. And I told Sunita this, and I was like, you know, I don't know what this means. And Sunita, you know, she was like, I don't know. You need to pray about that. You know, and I'm like super kind of skeptical about things like that. My like Presbyterian, you know, like theological, I'm like the stream, like, I don't know. And Sunita's like, no, you need to pray about that, sister. Like something is going to happen. And Sunita's like, and by the way, like we're a community. So if you're covered, I'm covered. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'm like so confused. Well, then 3 days later, we hear the news that we're laid off. We have 2 weeks notice. And most of you know what happened about a week after that with her nephew, Henry. And so this, like, just overwhelming, like, grief in a lot of areas kind of hit me and personally and just all of us, our little work community. And I shared about this dream with my colleagues. Some of them aren't even Christians. And it's just been this theme that, like, I don't know what's happening, but I'm covered. And this year, like the rest of this year, you know, things kind of just kind of kept unraveling. I am still looking for full-time work, but other things are, you know, happening that wouldn't have been able to have the space to happen if I hadn't been laid off. And I just started this year kind of, you know, wanting to believe, at least live like I believe that I'm covered. And I just wanted to share that with you all. I would like accountability with that because I don't always believe that. And I hope that you all can find some encouragement in that too. If I'm covered, you know, as a child of God, you know, then as a community, you know, we all are too. So thanks.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thanks, Lauren. And I'm starting to be encouraged, church. The Lord forgives us. The Lord covers us. Who's next? Come on up. Yeah, if you've got something, feel free. You can just sit in the front row here and make a short line.
I don't really have a whole lot to say. I'm not even a member of the church.
Oh, come on. Share your name. Yeah.
It's Julie Raines.
Yeah.
And what Cynthia said.
Microphone.
I mean, I could share a lot with you about what's been going on in my life this year. And I've got 5 children, and there's always something going on. So, I mean, you know, it's good and bad. But one of the things that I've learned through life, and I don't like platitudes. I was raised in the church. I've shared this with several people. My father was a minister. My brother's a minister. My husband was a minister. So platitudes don't mean a whole lot to me, but just everyday life. And I think one of the most important things that I could share with anybody anywhere this year, that's something that I have learned, I am learning every day. And you have to excuse me, I've got a really bad cold. What Jesus said, and everybody's heard this, everybody's, you know, we all know the Lord's Prayer. When I grew up in church, we said it every Sunday. But Jesus, we often forget what it says at the end of the Lord's Prayer. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. That's pretty awesome. It's a pretty heavy weight to bear. And in this, I mean, I just came back from Christmas, and my family is quite a mixture of liberals and conservatives. And so, and what I have seen is self-righteousness on both sides. Mm. If you're a liberal, you can be very self-righteous. This is your God, your politics. If you're a conservative, it can also be the same thing. And I think Christians need to remember that we're not holier than thou. We all have sins to bear. And if you somehow think you're so much better because you've marched or whatever you've done or the opposite, or you think about the very poorest of the poor or whatever, you have to forgive people. And if you're not forgiving people, God's not forgiving you. You're walking without the presence of the Lord. That's pretty heavy to bear, and I don't want to live that way. I don't know about you all, but I want to live to where I'm in connection with God, you know. So if I've got something, if I can't just look at a person and bless them as I'm looking at them, I got issues, and God's not involved in my life. And I just felt like that I wasn't going to say anything, but whatever Cynthia said, I just had to put an X on that. You know, that's exactly true. And that's what I, like I said, what I have learned in life and what I am learning. You better keep everything pretty pure before the Lord, because if you want to be connected with him, if you're sitting here right now and you have not, if you've got people in your life that maybe you feel like you're better than they are, you're more self-righteous because of your politics or whatever, you better really forgive them and better do it right now. Thanks.
Amen. All right. Thank you. Edward, need help?
If any of you have the blessing of having a little bit of benign positional vertigo, then you might find yourself wobbling around a little bit. But they examined my head and they found nothing. I would like to give thanks to God for my family. My wife, Barbara, and I have three children of our own, the usual way, and three children that God sent to us. And it's just been a really good thing. I was telling some friends last night, my wife is a member of a group that they call Grace Group. It's a group of women that have been getting together for 14 years now, I think, on a regular basis. And occasionally they invite the husbands for dinner. And I got to tell you, it is always some dinner. These ladies can cook. Wow. What a blessing to be married to one of them. And I was kind of saying, no, not kind of. I actually said it exactly like this way to my friends and their spouses. I said, I really like having teenagers in the house. You know, it's just a really, really good thing. I know it doesn't always feel that way. For those of you who don't have teenagers yet, look out, it's coming. For those of you who have them, yeah, you know exactly what I mean. But I just want to thank God for my current batch of teenagers. They're really great kids, and I love them a lot.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah.
Hey everyone, I'm Elizabeth O'Regan. I've been coming to New City August before last. I moved to St. Louis and went to the other New City, and this August I've been coming to this one. This past year has been maybe the hardest of my life, and the year before that, that was true too, and the year before that, that was true too. It's funny because I keep thinking that God's taught me lessons and I'm good to go. Like, okay, I learned that. I learned to depend on you. Good, check. But so much of the Christian walk is growing more dependent. To be a more mature Christian requires more dependency instead of less. So I just keep growing in painful ways. I taught in East St. Louis in January I was in East St. Louis teaching, and it was very emotionally challenging. I started my first serious relationship. Then I got laid off at work, which is apparently normal in East St. Louis. But then, like, my students' test scores came in, and they had the second highest in the school, which was huge testament to God's work because so much had been going so poorly. And just thing after thing has happened. That relationship ended respectfully, but it ended, and that was hard. And then I started at a new school that I thought would be amazing, and it has turned into just 65 and 70 hour work week expectations that have contributed to problems with my health, and it's just been a really hard year. But in that, and in these past several really hard years, part of me is just so weary, and part of me is so grateful that I get to see how big God is, and I get to see how awesome the body of Christ has been, because when God calls you to do something challenging, he also provides, and he puts people in your life. And New City has been that, and my family has been that, and people from Wheaton College, where I did undergrad, have been that. And it just is amazing to see how good the body of Christ is, and how good God is, and how faithful he is. A lot of what's hard, I feel like, is really God just wanting to grow me. You know, he could use other people to do the work that I do, but he is shaping me and pruning me, and has been really faithful to me. So I just want to testify to his faithfulness in a really challenging year.
Amen. Thank you, Elizabeth. Yeah. Come on up. Yeah, one of the things I love about you all, church, and what God is doing here, if you hear some of these stories about the trials where God meets us, the trials are connected to places where you are stepping out intentionally into hard things, right? Like working with Henry and the international students, working in East St. Louis, adopting kids. And that's very radically countercultural, where we often want to just protect ourselves from any hard things. I love that about you, church, and I love that God meets us in those places. So.
Hi, so I just want to share a verse. If you know John and I's story at all, you know that before we came here, we had three extremely hard years. And this was a verse that God just showed me, and that I just prayed for many years. And even though it's not entirely true yet, it's so much more true than when I started praying it. It says, Psalm 32, Lord my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. I hope if you're in a time where you need healing that you can pray to God that he will heal you and know that it's true eventually.
Amen. Thanks, Anne Marie. Psalm 32:5, did you say?
Psalm 32.
32. Some of y'all might need to go look that up after church again. Who's next?
Yeah. Hello, church. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Please pray that I can get through this.
All right.
I don't like microphones. Judah was nudging me to come up. I just want to give thanks to God for my life. I don't really know what I'm going to say, but I grew up in the foster care system, so I kind of had to learn a lot on my own. And what I've realized is that God has been with me all along. I've traveled all around the world, have a beautiful family, a wonderful husband. The last 4 years, I have been involved in Bible Study Fellowship, BSF. It's a worldwide Bible study that's really kicks your butt. But I have grown so much through it. Well, last year, one of the women in my group, her husband was fighting cancer and had been sort of in remission for about 3 years. He'd lived longer than he should. Anyway, we were praying for one another like we do, and I mentioned to her that I was having tooth pain. I didn't really want to talk about it, and I just kind of convinced myself that it was like a sinus issue, and it was affecting my tooth. Anyway, I was having pain, and she said, anything else you want to pray about, you want me to pray about, because we kind of paired off, and the Lord was nudging me, and I said, okay, yes, I have this. I need prayer for my tooth. And she said, well, what's going on? I said, well, I have a lump in the roof of my mouth. And she said, well, honey, my husband is an oral surgeon, and his ministry is helping people who don't have dental insurance. So I was like, really? She said, yeah, just she gave me all the information. She said, call them, tell them that, you know, Renee sent you. They know exactly what it is. And so I ended up going in about a week later, and they found a mass behind my two front teeth that was pretty large. And they wanted to remove it quickly because at the time, I didn't know this, but they were worried that it was a very rare cancer that he had treated a girl with prior. Anyway, the day after I saw him, we got word that his cancer, he had gone to the doctor the next day, and his cancer had come back, and it was fatal. So I was just praying for him and thinking about him and their situation, and their secretary called me a few days later and said that George wanted to get me in right away, that he'd come back early from his vacation, but I really knew what was going on, so they got me in that week, did the surgery. It was not cancerous. And so I was just so amazed at how God, you know, how I listened to him and overcame that fear of talking about it. And then also through that process, George really taught me to be fearless and to be brave and courageous. So that's how I'm able to stand here today. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks, Teresa. That's good. Thank you all for being honest.
Hi. Well, I'm Megan Sabrin. I guess as a little testimony, I just want to say thank you to the church. This past year, about a month ago, I had some really bad, some back issues. And then, I don't know when it was, maybe a few months before that, I had a little scare of when they thought I might have had like a tumor in my ear, but it was just something from previous surgery. And through both those times, it was scary for me. But the church body was there for me in just unimaginable ways, through prayer, through contact, through helping me with meals. And it was just, like, if you want to see God in action, like, it's just so beautiful to see just you guys there for me. You know, my family is all the way in Michigan, and so, like, you guys were my family, and you were comforting me because the Lord was calling you, and so thank you.
Amen. Thanks, Megan. Amen. That's good.
Christina, this is Brian, and
We're in the middle of unpacking what I'm going to share, so we'll kind of see. Maybe the Lord will use it in your heart. We started fostering about 6 months ago. Walked into it knowing it would be a hard process and weren't quite prepared for how hard it was. We had three infants in 3 months, and we made the choice to keep bringing them into our home. So I guess we were kind of suckers for punishment. But we had a wonderful, in a way it was an amazing experience. In a way it was really hard, but I think it's been really easy to focus on how difficult it was. During that time, we had chronic illness flare up. The children got sick. The house fell apart. We got in a car accident. The list goes on. And we had newborns, so we were exhausted. And but I think something that happened in all three situations, and I was reflecting with a friend, and she just responded by saying one thing. And in every situation, the child went home to a family member. And in each situation, that family member looked at me while I was transitioning the baby and said, I've been pouring out prayer that this would happen. And I've been, in every situation, the family was scared because the child was in foster care and they weren't sure about the home that the kid was in. And but we gave good care and we prayed over them too. And in the process, we can walk away and say, wow, we were an answer to prayer. And we stepped into a situation and brought healing without even really realizing we were doing that and being really focused on how hard this was, but also feeling called. So we're like, well, we're going to walk in obedience, even though this is really hard. And so anyway, praise God for situations where we walk in and we know they're going to be hard, and they end up being a blessing to someone else, sometimes the whole community, and I think in turn a blessing to us. So we're figuring that out. So.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Come on up, Donna, but this line that we read, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. How do you think he does that? It's through you guys. That's what we're hearing about. Thank you. Yeah.
Hello. So I'm not sure. So my name is Donna. So I'm not sure.
Just so you know, you could probably take Ed at this point with his vertigo.
I could take him before.
Yeah, even before, huh? Yeah. Okay.
But anyway, I think what I want to say. Well, I want to say a lot, but I'm a person that's full of fear up to here, and I know God does not like that. But I'm weary because my son, Gary, I mean, most people here know about Gary, know that each time I come in this church, I can see his casket here. Each time I'm there, I can see his casket there. I don't think that has anything to do with the way that I feel, but for the first time, I don't even know how long he's been dead, but for the first time this year, I got angry, and I've never been angry before, about his death, because I believed that God was going to take care of it. I didn't need to be mad at the guy that killed him, any of that, but there's something very wrong with me right now. I can't shake this anxiety. I can't shake the fear that I carry every day. So 2017 for me is carrying what started at the end of 2016. I need help. I've gotten to the point where I'm saying to myself, man, my grandkids will be fine. I even started to do things like trying to interact with them more, planning my death, because that's where I am now. I even asked my beautiful friend, Jeremy, would you sing at my funeral? I know that's Satan, but I can't get it away. I can't shake it. I don't have a testimony of hope. My testimony here today is because I'm very much afraid for my family, because I'm not well in my mind. Nobody knew that until now. I'm very good at acting and pretending. And I don't know who had me to come up here and say this. Satan, I guess, so that I could look like a fool, or God, so that I can get help. I'm not sure. I'm confused between the two right now. So, yeah.
All right. Let's pray, church.
Yeah.
Lord Jesus, I want to testify of your goodness to Donna. I want to testify of what you've done for us because of Donna, Lord. I want to testify of the thousands of songs that I've sung in the pews because Donna's been singing them to me. Lord, I want to testify of just the beautiful things that she's done in her grandchildren's life and her children's life. Lord, I want to testify of the security that she brings to my home when she's in it. Lord, I want to testify of your goodness, because that's all true. And I know, Lord, that you bring Donna in these places of anxiety and fear. And I've seen it many, many times. And I've walked with it for many, many years, Lord. And I've struggled with that fear for myself and my fear for Donna's life, Lord. But Lord Jesus, you are good. All of the time you are good. Our lives are fleeting. This is not our home. Lord, I want to pray for my sister Donna. And I want to ask you, Lord, that when she is in this moment, when she is in this place, that you would raise her up, that you would give her this tiny little thought of your goodness. And that would get her through this moment so that she could face the next moment later, Lord. Thank you for her. Because without her, where would we be, Lord Jesus? In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you that you are our shepherd. Lord, we thank you that Donna is your sheep. Lord, we thank you that her hope for now and for the future isn't on how much she can cling to you, but the fact that you hold on to her.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you that you're a God who pursues us. Lord, we also believe that in a spiritual battle, Lord, where we are constantly under the attack of the evil one who wants to destroy us, that you are greater,
Amen.
That you are the victor,
Amen.
That you are the one who has conquered death. And Lord, we just cry out, may your kingdom come.
Amen.
May your will be done,
Amen.
In our sister Donna's life.
And as Donna so frequently says, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Donna. Thank you for the blessing that she's been in the 20 years that I've known her. Thank you for her willingness to testify to where she is. Thank you for her throwing herself at your feet and relying totally on you. In spite of how she feels, Lord Jesus, lift her up, bless her, give her your encouragement. And help us as your people to draw together, to encourage one another always, to look to each other, to bless, to lift up, to encourage. Help us, Lord God, to be known as a people of prayer. Prayer and encouragement and help and support for each other.
God, I just want to pray for Donna, Lord. We just claim her as yours. She is marked with your Holy Spirit, Jesus. Satan has no power over her.
Mm-hmm.
You are in control of her life, Jesus. She is yours. She cannot take her life. No one can take her life. You are the one who gives and takes life, Jesus. You are sovereign. Satan has no power. You have squashed the serpent's head with your foot, with your heel, Jesus. You are the king. Even though she is riddled with this anxiety and fear, Lord, it does not change who you are and the plans that you have for her life, God. So much suffering, Lord, so much hardness. We don't understand, but we know what is true, that she is your child. She is a child of God. Satan has no power in her life.
Amen.
All of these things are just games and a facade and tricks and spears of doubt. But God, you are sovereign. You are never going to change. Your love for her is never going to change.
Amen, amen.
God, we just pray. We just bind Satan away from her. We pray you would take away these anxious thoughts, Lord, that you would give her heart peace, Lord. Keep her close to you. Let her know how close you are. How close you are to the brokenhearted. Let her sense your closeness, Jesus. Let her feel your arms around her. Let her feel safe at home. Let her feel at peace. Let her feel safe in the night, Lord. When she is alone, when it's dark, let her sense a blanket of comfort around her, your angels surrounding her, Lord. We just pray against Satan and his... He has no power, Lord. You are the king, and you have already been victorious, Lord. Mm-hmm. And we just pray you would give her courage to live and to trust. Give her strength and help her to rest and abide. Lord, you have promised that your burden is light. Show mm-hmm. us that. Show us that, Lord. You have said we can cast our cares on you. Help us to do that. Mm-hmm. Help us understand what that means. And just help her to rest in your arms, Jesus. I pray she would know how precious and loved she is in your sight and in the sight of your children. In your name, Jesus.
Amen. 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 Y'all love Donna? Thank you, church. We're going to wrap it up here, and I'm going to ask Roy to come and lead us in the Lord's Supper in just a moment. But every time we have these testimony Sundays, I hope you see a couple of things. One is that if you think that the trials or the struggles that you experience are unique to you, you're not alone. The other is that the Lord is with us. And then finally this, that we are with one another. We are not alone. New City South is a place where we want to experience God's grace, His steadfast love, and His mercy in the real circumstances of our life. Somebody talked about platitudes. We want to be a place where we can be honest with each other. And many of you have walked with the Lord. You know that as you do that, as you are honest with God and with one another, that creates the place where God comes in by His mercy and works His healing. Thank God for you, church. And I want to just ask you, let's give God praise one more time. Amen. Bless the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, His ministers who do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Lord, you are faithful. You are worthy. Lord, we give this year to you. Lord, we believe what Jesus said when He said, in this world you will have trouble. But we also believe the next part of the verse that He said, I have overcome this world. And Lord, we just invite your power, your grace, your mercy, your love, your Holy Spirit to reign and to rule in our hearts. Lord, this morning, we pray that you would help us in 2017 to have hearts that are humble and soft before you. Lord, we pray that you would help us to loosen our grip on whatever idols might control us. Lord, we pray that you would help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, our author and perfecter of our faith. In His name, amen. Amen. Let's stand, church. This is our family meal. We're going to take the Lord's Supper together as Pastor Roy leads us.